بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله. Tonight is the 25th of January in the year 2016, and inshallah for the next few nights we're going to discuss the important subject of the exit and journey of the soul upon death. The exit and journey of the soul upon death. So again, this is something that we need to be aware of, because all of us will experience this. And we know exactly what happens when a person passes away. We don't have any guesswork. So inshallah, we'll go on to answer this famous and most common question: what happens to a person's soul upon death? It's also interesting that the non-Muslims ask this question as well. What is your concept of life after death? So this is the starting point. Firstly, the soul becomes so attached to the body it's inhabited in this worldly life that it now hates to part with it at the time of death. This is manifested outwardly by the hardship that people face, which I've mentioned in the previous sessions. In Bazaar, Bukhari's Al-Adab al-Mufrad and others, Shaykh al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi states Sahih in As-Sahihah number 2013. Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiyallahu, he relates that our beloved messenger said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah the Almighty and Glorious, he says to the human soul, Ukhruji, depart from the body. It replies, La akhruju. La akhruju illa wa ana qariha. I will not depart except reluctantly. He subhanahu wa ta'ala commands, Ukhruji wa in karihat. Depart even if you are reluctant. So let's look at this. So this is a sahih hadith. So it clearly mentions the soul does not want to leave the body. Question, why? There's reports, but they suffer from weakness. The report mentions that when the first soul was placed into the body, it considered it, you know, like we say, claustrophobic. Because how am I supposed to, you know, manage to live in such a confined space? Now, when we're discussing the soul in the next few nights, you'll realize why it said that. The soul is much more dominant than the body. It can travel vast distances. So obviously in a confined space. So the report, which has weakness, mentions, oh Lord, he goes, are you ordering me to go into the body? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the soul, if you enter the body, I promise that you will love it so much, you will then not want to leave. So the soul obviously obeyed our loving Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now what happens? After the person is now reaching the term appointed, the opposite. And this hadith substantiates that was the case. So this is a weak hadith, but this is authentic about not leaving. So what does the soul say? La akhruju illa wa ana qariha. I will not depart except reluctantly. In other words, I have to obey you, but I'm going to do it reluctantly. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ukhruji wa in karih. Depart even if you are reluctant. Now what's interesting, this is a divine conversation. Where's the angel of death? Alayhi salatu wasalam. It indicates that our Lord, of course, is conversing with all the creation. The Quran says in Surah Nur that everything praises your Lord. He goes, but you do not understand its praise. The soul also communicates with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the soul reluctantly leaves the body. That's manifested when a person is going to the death banks. The soul doesn't want to leave. And that's why even when the angel of death, which I mentioned, I think, two nights prior, is taking the soul of the believer, is still painful. And that's why the Prophet said to the angel of death, be kind to my companion. And the angel of death said, I am merciful to all believers. Meaning that even though you're seeing the pain, I'm trying my best not to afflict this. But the soul is reluctant to leave the body. Where does the soul exit the body? Not where does it start exiting, where does it leave the body? The soul leaves the body from the throat. It's here that it leaves. Where is it mentioned? In Surah Qiyamah, Surah 75, verse 26 to 30. Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He says, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim. Nay, when it reaches the collarbone and it is said by the family, is there any recital to save him? And he is certain that this is the time for departure, and the shin is joined with the udhr towards your Lord on that day is the drive. So in this powerful passage, in the few verses of Surah Qiyamah, it clearly says when the soul reaches the collarbone, Allah mentions that explicitly, then the people ask, isn't that true? Do something. They even say to the doctor, do something. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then you know for certain the time is near. And when the leg joins the other leg towards your Lord, that day is now the drive. In another part of the Quran, the same thing is mentioned. In Surah Al-Waqi'ah, Surah 56, verse 83 to 7, the Almighty and Glorious says, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Why, when it has reached the throat, and you are at that time helplessly looking on, and we are nearer to him than you, although you do not see. Why? Then if you think you are not bound by our decree, do you not bring the soul back to the body, if you are truthful? So in this other powerful passage of the Quran, it clearly mentions when the soul reaches the throat. And then it says, look how interesting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we are nearer to him than you, but you can't see. So how close are the family members when a person is dying? They literally might even be twitching his hand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there's somebody closer than you. Who's we? The angels. But you can't see them. But what's interesting is some people do experience it. One of the brothers actually mentioned when his mother passed away, we felt something moving amongst us. And they all witnessed it. It wasn't just the one brother, because his brother was there, his wife was there. They all said, we felt something moving. It's the presence of the angels. But usually, nothing is observed. Then it says in this passage, look how amazing. If you think you are not bound by our decree, why don't you bring back if you are truthful? Person dies, imagine it, just a few moments prior, he's alive. A few moments after he's dead. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you think you're not returning to me, return the soul. As soon as the person dies, they even put that chadar over him. You know, oh, hang on a minute, what's happening? Well, that's it, isn't it? Why is that it? And they have to admit, despite all the letters at the end of their name, we can't do anything now. He's dead. But at that point, Allah ta'ala mocks him. He goes, I thought you weren't bound by the decree. Bring the soul back. Where's it gone? Why couldn't you stop it from leaving the body? Allah Ta'ala is reminding you how weak you are. Similarly, in Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah and Uds, Shaykh Al-Bani Rahmatullah Alayhi states Sahih in Sahih Ujjam, number 1903, and Hidayatul Rawah, number 2282. Abdullah Ibn Umar, radiyallahu anhu, he relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَقْبَلُ تَوْبَةَ الْعَبْدِ مَا لَمْ يُغَرْغِرْ. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to accept a person's repentance just as long as he has not reached the gurgling stage, i.e. when the soul is now reaching the throat and is about to leave the body. Look at how merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. The soul, like I mentioned, I'll mention it in a bit inshallah, it starts off from the feet. So even when the soul is leaving the feet, he can still repent. You know, we'd say, forget it, nah. But Allah still forgive him if he repents. He gets to the knees. If he repents, imagine half his body is dead now. And Allah will still accept the repentance. That's his mercy. He even gets to the stomach. Imagine, more than half his body is dead. He can still accept his repentance. But the Prophet said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَقْبَلُ تَوْبَةَ الْعَبْدِ مَا لَمْ يُغَرْغِرُ. When he starts to gurgle, he goes, then Allah Ta'ala will not accept the repentance. Meaning, when the soul is about to leave. And you'll see people when they're dying, they actually make that sound. They start gurgling. Right? Because that's the soul leaving the body. But it's not the body, it's the soul. And look how he doesn't want to leave the body. So the angel of death is taking it out, exiting the mouth. At that point, it's too late. This is why Fir'aun, when he was drowning, it was too late. The soul had reached his throat. He goes, now I believe in the Lord of Musa and Harun. And Allah says, now you believe. You didn't leave it until he was drowning. And the gharghar had started. SubhanAllah. What's amazing? Even when a believer is in the agonies of death, he's still praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's a noble sign. Where's the proof? In Nasa'i Ahmad and others, Shaykh al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi states Sahih in Sahih al-Jami number 1931, As-Sahihah number 1632. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu, he relates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنَ تَخْرُجُ نَفْسُهُ مِنْ بَيْنِ جَنْبَيْهِ وَهُوَ يَحْمَدُ اللَّهِ. Verily, a believer praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even as his soul departs from between his two sides. Verily, a believer praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even as his soul departs from between his two sides. Example, when Mu'adh ibn Jabal, one of the great companions of the Prophet, was dying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in Ahmad in his Zuhd, he goes, throttle me as you wish. You know how much I love you. So he was obviously experiencing immense pangs of death. What did he say? He goes, I understand. He goes, do whatever you want to do. He goes, you know that I love you. Now why did he say that? Person's going through severe pain. He's praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that is the believer. That's a sign of a very high iman. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was doing the same. The best of creation. He goes, death truly has its pangs. But he was praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning that at that time, if a person is praising his Lord, that's an excellent sign. But that can only happen if you've been doing that when you were healthy. You won't expect that from a person living a sinful life, and then at the end of his life, he starts remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, in Ahmad Bazar, Shaykh al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi states Hassan in As-Sahihah number 1632, Abu Huraira radiyallahu, he relates that our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, verily, my believing servant has an excellent status with me. He praises me even when I pull his soul from his body. Indeed, my believing servant has an excellent status with me. He praises me even when I pull his soul from his body. Why? Because when you love something, you understand. Even there's a saying in English, to be cruel, to be kind. What does that mean? It means that a person who doesn't know the scenario, he will think some cruelty is being shown. But when you look at the whole understanding of the event, you realize kindness is being shown. It looks like there's cruelty. So similarly, when a believer's dying, it's the same. Person who's not trained, he will think, what's happening? This was a good person. Why is he getting, you know, what's all these signs? But they're good signs. You think they look bad, but they're good signs. Question, why is it that non-Muslims, they die peacefully? And they even portray this in films. You see a person, not a Muslim, you know, without any belief, let's say he's an atheist, or follows another religion, and he's in his bed, deathbed, family's all around him, and he just does this, like he goes to sleep. He goes, oh, he's just fell asleep. They even say, he just fell asleep. So a person goes, the Holy Prophet went through agonies, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and your blogs died peacefully. So again, shaitan will use that to confuse you. He will say, well, there you go. People just die. Your religion doesn't make sense. The response, in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that the unbeliever, he is rewarded for all his good deeds before he dies. The unbeliever, he is rewarded for all his good deeds before he dies. Meaning, even till the last moment of his life, he's being rewarded. And one of the rewards he receives is an easy death. Meaning, this is a bad sign. But you haven't got knowledge. So think about it. On the face of it, oh, look at that. What a beautiful end to his life. Whole family around him, and he just dropped off, fell asleep. then you think, you know, who's going to break news to? Astaghfirullah. Right? Because what you're going to tell them, this is a bad sign. Why? What's happened there? Astaghfirullah. So this is a sign. So note, not everything you see goes with logic. Sometimes something looks bad, but it's actually good. So what are the good signs of death mentioned in the hadith for the believer? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he dies with sweat on his forehead. This is a sign of he's blessed. He dies, and he goes, he's breathing heavily, but he's not grunting. So it's like heavy breathing. And then this is another good sign. The signs of a bad death, the Prophet mentions, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is that he starts making a sound like a donkey. Right? You know, the breathing becomes very rough, coarse. And he starts getting so dry. You know, he can't, you know, his tongue is dry, everything's dried up. In fact, the report mentions you couldn't even quench his thirst with oceans. And there's other things mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but these are signs, we should be aware of this. The Prophet was telling you this, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The angels, alayhi salatu wasalam, they bring glad tidings to the believers. Together with the angel of death, alayhi salatu wasalam, the assistant angels of mercy, alayhi salatu wasalam, come to a believer at the time of death in a reassuring manner. They kindly handle his soul and tell him of his great rewards in store for him in paradise. Where's the proof? Firstly, in the Quran. In Surah Fussilat, Surah 41, verse 30 to 31, the Almighty and Glorious, he says, Audhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, verily, those who say, our Lord is Allah alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they stand firm in obedience, the angels will then descend upon them, i.e. at their death, and they will tell them, do not fear or do not grieve. We bring you glad tidings of paradise that you have been promised. Indeed, we were your allies in the worldly life and also in the hereafter. So it's mentioned explicitly in the Quran. If you obey, worship only one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't commit partners with it, associate partners with it, and you're obedient, the angels give you glad tidings of paradise and reassurance. Hafiz ibn Kathir said something here, his tafsir, rahmatullah alayh. The angels descend upon the time of death, alayhi salatu wasalam, informing, don't fear what is ahead of you in the hereafter, nor grieve over what you leave behind of children, family, wealth or debts, because we will take care of this. Stop in the report. Why do the angels say that? The Quran doesn't give you details. The Quran says, do not fear or grieve. That's all it says. What does that mean? Ibn Kathir said, do not fear of what's ahead of you. In other words, everything that comes now, you're successful. And do not grieve for what you leave behind. Your children, your wealth, etc., etc. The angels, alayhi salatu wasalam, also tell them, we were your allies in the worldly life. How? Guiding, helping, protecting you with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we will also be with you in the next life, giving you company in the solitude of your grave when the horn is blown, etc., etc. So look at this beautiful passage. The angels say, don't fear of what's going to come in the future. You're successful. Don't grieve for what you leave behind. We will sort that out. Then they say, we are your allies in the worldly life and in the hereafter. How were they our friends in the worldly life? They helped us. They guided us with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the next life, we're with you. You will never be alone. You'll be in. So look how reassuring that is. This is all taking place at the moment of death. Whilst you're holding the hand, imagine it, eating grapes. Right? So note, details are given explicitly in the Quran and the Sunnah. The hadith gives you further details. In Abu Dawood, Ahmad and others, Shaykh Al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi states Sahih in Sahih Ut-Targhib, number 3558, and Ahkam al-Janais, page 198 to 202. Bara ibn Azib radiyallahu, he relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when a believer is at the point of departure from the worldly life and is about to enter the next life, Angels, alayhi salatu wasalam, descend from the heavens. Their face is white as the sun. They carry with them a shroud from the fabric of paradise, an embalmment from the fragrance of paradise. They sit away from him at the limit of his eyesight. We're stopping the report. What's happening? You're about to leave the world. You cannot leave 1 second before or after your turn. These angels know exact moment. They don't come too early. They don't come too late. They've been given that knowledge. When they come, they're coming down. How they're coming in a noble form, beautiful form, shining like the sun. And they've come with two things from paradise. One is a garment of paradise, and the other is the atar, the perfume. And then the hadith goes, they sit at the eyesight. So let's make this practical. If you are on the battlefield, they're probably a few miles away. If you're in the hospital, they're a few miles away. Doesn't matter. These physical things don't get in the way of the angels. Don't think that, well, what's the point of them being a mile away when I'm in hospital? There's about 15 walls between me and them. That's between you, a human being. Angels go through the earth to question you in the grave. They're made of light. So it doesn't matter. Don't start using logic. So when they sit at that distance, what happens? The hadith continues. Then the angel of death arrives. So look how interesting. They come first. Then Malik al-Maut, he arrives. Alayhi salatu wasalam. He sits by the head, not the feet. And he says, Ayyatuhan nafsul mutma'inna ukhruji ila maghfiratin minallahi wa ridwan. O good and peaceful soul, depart now to the forgiveness and acceptance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On hearing this, the soul leaves the body as easily as water drops from the spout of a water skin, and he takes it. So not forgetting, even though he's doing it very, like you pour water, he's doing it very carefully, you're feeling great pain. Why? The soul doesn't want to leave. Doesn't want to leave. So he's doing it as careful as possible. There's a hadith where Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, so may not even like his dust, Moses, Prophet Moses alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him, when you was dying, when the soul was leaving, how was it? He said it was like being put on a spit and being roasted alive slowly. So imagine, somebody puts you on a spit and he's doing that, roasting you. That's with Moses. Imagine, alayhi salatu wasalam. Somebody goes, well, isn't that a punishment? No, the soul doesn't want to leave. So what's going to happen to us? And you think you're going to say, la ilaha illallah, when you die. People think it's a joke, astaghfirullah. It's going to be an honor for you to say, la ilaha illallah. In another report, he said, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, it was like thorns were thrust into every one of my veins and then being ripped apart by a powerful man. He's telling you about death. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, I was easy with you. Right? People don't even know. Let's think about death. I'm going to die. That's thinking about death. That's what Joe Bloggs thinks of death. This is how we think of death. The hadith continues. On hearing this, the soul leaves the body. When a soul leaves his body, all the angels between the heavens and the earth, and all the angels in the heavens, pronounce salat upon him for his forgiveness. Look at the honor. Every one of the trillion, Google, zillion angels praying for your forgiveness. Oh Allah, so forgive him. The noble one has departed. The hadith continues. All the gates of the heavens, i.e. the sama, are open for him, so he can pass. The guardians of every heaven, imploring Allah the Almighty, that his soul ascends in their direction. When you say heaven, the English language also means paradise. Here it doesn't mean paradise. It means there's seven realms or seven spheres. Each sphere has a guardian over it. You cannot pass from one sphere to the other. You have to get permission by an angel. There's a gate. All of those gates open. And then it says, let him come, let him enter. When the angel of death takes his soul from the throat, alayhi salatu wasalam, the other angels don't leave it in his hand for as little as the blinking of an eye. So don't get this impression that the angel of death takes the soul, that he hasn't got a chance. They immediately take it from his hand. They take it and place it in the shroud of paradise, put the embalmment on it, and from it then issues the best scent of musk that ever existed on the earth. So what happens? As soon as the angel of death takes the soul, those angels from the eyesight distance, they come rushing. They take the soul of the angel of death. And they put the cloth of paradise around it, and they put atar. Now what's interesting? When the Holy Prophet passed away, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha said in Ahmad, authentic hadith, the whole dwelling was full of incredible musk. He goes, it just blasted with scent soon as he passed away. What was that? The Prophet told you. Imagine it. Look how beautiful that was. He told you what's happening when it happened to him as well. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Hazrat Salama said, radiallahu anha, in Ahmad, authentic, I placed my palm on the chest of the Prophet when he died. And he goes, I can still smell the scent on my palm. What was the atar? From paradise. And to a lesser extent, people also witness this. You'll see people saying this. Because when a righteous person dies, people say, I can't believe it. It was an incredible smell. Where was that smell? If you knew the report, you straight away say, that's a sign of goodness. He's successful. And Allah allows you to also take the blessing of the scent. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, to this applies the words of your Lord. And he recited Surah 6 verse 61. A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim. Tawaffathu rusuluna wa hum la yufarritun. Our messengers, alayhi salatu wa salam, take his soul and they never neglect their duty. The Quran says messengers, not messenger. Who are the messengers? Angel of death is one. It's the other angels Allah is referring to here. Because they never neglect their duty. Let's just add a few things to finish. The angel of death is the one who takes the soul out of the body. Alayhi salatu wasalam. His name is Israel. But that's not from the hadith. The scholars of the hadith say that's from the Bani Israel. We don't know his name. So some people, they say he's Israel. He could be. But there's nothing from the Quran or Sunnah mentioning his name. The title he's got is Malik al-Mut, the angel of death. The angel of death, alayhi salatu wasalam, like I mentioned two nights back, he knows you better than yourself. He knows your family better than yourself. So whoever you know in your family, he knows him better. He said it himself to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Meaning, he keeps tabs on you. Don't get this impression, he doesn't know what's going on, he's just flying about everywhere, just doing good haphazard. He knows exactly who's what. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam once asked to speak to him. And he came in human form. And he goes, tell me about this death. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he told him, the angel of death told him. Then Abraham alayhi salatu wasalam, he goes, aren't you supposed to be taking souls now? Because you're talking to me. And the report goes, time had stopped still. Meaning, he's also got power to control time. Alayhi salatu wasalam. He can stop it. Meaning, he's not rushing. Don't get this impression. He's got like, 100,000 souls to take out. And you get this. Why do you do any cartoons, right? You know, he's just taking it. Well, obviously, he does the duty. He's not rushing about. In another report, he said, in the books of Tafsir, he goes, the whole world is like a tray to me. Is when you pick things to eat from the tray, do you struggle? And the Prophet goes, no. He goes, then it's the same for me. In another report, he goes, the world is like a ball for me. The angel of death. And guess what? He's coming for you as well. When you're talking about the people, oh yeah, what about you? Who's going to come for you? Judge us up, right? So we hope that he comes in a good state. Alayhi salatu wasalam. The report mentions he looks at you 5 times a day. Keeping tabs on you. Why 5? That's interesting. There's 5 prayers in a day. Maybe at the time of azan, he looks to see whether you're praying. If you're not, imagine, innit? Death is looking at you and you're not praying. Well, that one, innit? Right? And also the grave, like I mentioned, calls out to you 7 times a day. So the angel of death has a great connection with us, alayhi salatu wasalam. And when he takes the soul out, before that, he's got other angels under him who are helping him to take the soul out. So he has angels under him, all under his charge. They are also the angels of death. They help to take the soul out. But the official taking out of the soul is done by the angel of death. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Just like Mikail alayhi salatu wasalam, the hadith says in Tabarani, Hassan, he's in charge of the weather and plants. But there's other angels. There's Ra'ad, who's in charge of the clouds. He's under Mikail alayhi salatu wasalam. He helps him. Similarly, the angel of death has got helpers, but he takes the soul out. So, all of that is with regards to the verse, Surah 6, verse 61. And let me just add this to finish. So this report is a combined report from Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu in Sahih Muslim number 2872, Nasa'i, Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, Ibn Hibban, Bazar, Tabrani, Hakim and others. Shaykh Al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi states Sahih in Sahih Al-Jami number 1968. Abu Huraira relates radiyallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily, when death descends upon a believer and he witnesses things, i.e. his rewards, he wishes his soul would depart quickly, and Allah Ta'ala loves to meet him. When the soul is then being taken, the angels of mercy come to him with a piece of white silk, and the angel of death says, "Ukhruji ayyatuhun nafsu, nafsu tayyibati qanat fil jasadit tayyib, ukhruji hamida, wa abshiri bi ruhin wa rihan, wa rabbin ghayri ghadban." Depart, O good soul that was in a good body. Depart gracefully. Receive glad tidings of happiness, sweet aromas, and a Lord who is not displeased. This continues to be said until it leaves the body, issuing the most beautiful scent of musk. The angels even pass it to each other, each one smelling the soul. Subhanallah. The angels pass it to each other, because give me honor to smell the soul, and they're smelling it as it's going through the heavens. And why is it going through the heavens? We'll discuss that in the next few days, inshallah. So all I mentioned today was basically now talking about the exit and journey of the soul upon death. And note, no guesswork. If you're guessing, that means you haven't studied it. We know exactly what's happening. And not forgetting, this is the soul we're discussing, not the body. The body is still there. The soul is now dominant. The body is now second. So, alhamdulillah, the Allah, the Almighty in glory, has given us guidance. Are there any questions? Let us ask. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanallahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, wa bihamdika rabbana innaka antal subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun alal mursalin, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, wal asr, innal insana lafi khusr, alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat, wa tawassaw bil haqq, wa tawassaw bis sabr, tawakkalna 'ala Allah.